Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. I am so happy to have you all back. We have Bree, which is one of my besties, podcast besties, but we've been besties for other things too. So Bree, tell us where you've been up to.
Hello, Laura. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Life been life.
Yes.
No, this was my first year of teaching. I survived. This is like my first official week of summer break, even though I mean, technically it's still spring, but I did have training yesterday and I kind of like fell asleep during the middle of it. You know, it is what it is, virtual.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God, I'm chatting with Laura. I'm so excited. Like, I feel like mentally we're all in the summer already.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited. It's the like season of possibilities, I feel like, which I don't know why, but yeah.
Yeah. And you went to the beach this past weekend. So you.
I did. So let me tell you. So the first day was great.
Yeah.
I live in Texas, y'all. We drove from San Antonio down to Galveston, which, it's interesting. So Corpus is like an hour away while Galveston's like a 4-hour drive. And personally, I think Corpus's beach is a lot prettier and gorgeous, but there's something just real chill about Galveston. So we go there, we get an Airbnb, we wake up, we go to the beach, have a lovely time. And then one of my friends that I was in the military with messages me on Facebook and he's like, you know, they have like flesh eating bacteria in Galveston's beach at this time. And I was like, I did not know that. So I Google it and it is in fact true. I'm like, I hope my family's okay. As of now, everybody is fine. And then we get back to the Airbnb and the beautiful thing is like, while it's like triple digits in San Antonio, like it's been 109 for maybe 2 weeks now. In Galveston, it's like 88 degrees. And so we come home, we order food. We're like, okay, we're going to take naps. The Airbnb had a pool. So we're like, we'll get out in the pool later. And like the air's on. And I tell my husband, I'm like, can you turn it up? Like I'm getting really cold. Why did the air stop working? Like it was miserable from like the mid-afternoon on. And I'm like, luckily we found this key and like next to the pool was like a pool house. And inside there was like bunk bed, futon, big pillow in the middle, wall unit, window unit, AC. And my husband's like, we're just going to sleep in here tonight. And I'm like, I just want to be in here with the big TV on the couch. But eventually you have to set your pride aside and you're like, girl, it is deathly hot in here. So it went from like a really wonderful vacation to kind of miserable, but I was like, you know what, it is all in the memory making.
Yeah,
it is what it is. We survived. But yeah, I mean, you live in Tampa, so you're like you're surrounded by the beach kind of, right?
I live in Northeast Tampa, so I live by the suburb, like by inland. So okay. I live like about 45 minutes from the beach. I think Clearwater is the beach. And there's 45 minutes from St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay. I'm not sure if there's any beaches in Tampa Bay. Maybe there are, you know. I don't know.
Okay.
I live in Passenger Princess. So it's been limited to where I do travel to. But
go to Puerto Rico. Like,
I do get an island. I go to Puerto Rico like every other month or so. Like, I go like at least 3 to 4 times a year. So I do have access to beaches. I haven't been to a beach, but I do have access to a pool. So my current community has a pool and my new community has a pool. So I do have.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
To pools and stuff. But I haven't even done that in the past 3 years. So maybe that's something I need to do.
Girl, you got to go. Yeah. I was like, I think when you don't frequent like either the pool or the beach, which I get like when I go to Missouri, my family are like, why don't you take the kids to the pool more? And I'm like, I live in a big city. Like, we don't have like small town public pools. But
yeah,
now that my husband works for like the city Parks and Rec, I do know like the city has like 24 public pools and I think they're all free. And I just realized, I was like, man, being in the water or near the water is really, really soothing. Like, my whole spirit just felt so much lighter. I was like, oh, I need more of this.
Yeah, I used to, when I lived in New York, I went to the pool a couple of times. I went to Astoria, I think it is. And like a couple of times I walked to the pool. I had a friend who lived in Astoria. I live in Jersey City. It was like a hike, but I did go to the pool a couple of times. Like, that was like a fun thing. And maybe that's something I should do. When I was moving to Tampa, I was like, I want a place with a pool, but I'm not used to pool. So yeah. I think the new place that I'm living is a nicer pool. So hopefully I'll get to go to the pool. They'll still have a nicer gym and like a cafe and like fun places, like communal spaces. This one doesn't have that. It's not that nice. So
yeah. Are you like a summer girl? Like, do you get excited or no?
I'm excited. I think because I grew up in the summer. Like, I grew up in a place where summer year round, like Puerto Rico's summer. And then I moved to up north and I like spring. If I have to choose a season, I like spring the most.
I love spring.
It's all pink. It's all beautiful. But I constantly move down to Florida, which is summer all year round. Like, it really comes down to it. Like, yes, we got like a weird winter where it's like it gets really cold a couple of days, but it's not long term. We don't get snow. We don't get any of that stuff. Like, I don't wear a coat here. And so I've come to terms that I love summer, except summer in Florida is disgusting. And it's just the same thing in Tampa and like Texas, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. It's really hot. So definitely, like, outdoors time is, like, very limited. But I like the fact that I do get to wear dresses all year round. And I get to wear cute summer clothes and, like, have, like, stuff. So it's, like, a year-round. I live in a year-round summer place, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So when the season comes, like, because I'm the same. I love the in-between seasons. I love fall and I love spring.
Yeah.
But then summer I get really excited for, but also, like you said, you'd live somewhere where it's kind of miserable.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you do mentally to, like, I don't know, enjoy the season at the same time?
So, I think for me, I enjoy the season, like, just trying to, I think, like, I do, like, some, like, I don't know, my life doesn't change because I do work. So, I don't have summer breaks. So, my life doesn't change as much. I think it's I'm more conscious about, like, more less hibernation and more outing. Like, that means maybe more classes or more trying like different events or trying like going for day trips to different things. I did go to Disney last year around Labor Day and I was miserable. So I would not recommend Disney in the summer because it's too freaking hot. At least Disney World. Maybe Disneyland is a different story, but Disney World is like too hot. It's too miserable, but like maybe something to like think about like later on in the season.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out what's the best time to go because like my youngest really wants to go and I want to go while he's still young and it's still such a big deal to him. But I was like messaging, like talking to my sister yesterday. I was like, I feel like even as a 37-year-old woman, I need to go to Disney. Like I love those videos of like little babies dressed up as like the evil queen and getting hugs. And I'm like, I want that experience.
I did it as a treat to my inner child. Like I'm actually have an annual pass and I don't know if I'm going to renew it. I may try to do Universal, I think, next. And maybe that's one that I want to try. I live near Bushfire and it's actually like 10 minutes away from my house. But it's a very like inner child, like revisiting and healing out opportunity where you get to just play and get to just enjoy. And like time is what is time. And what is food? What is the meat? Like, it's all good. So it is fun. I found Disney to be somewhat dated, which was surprisingly as someone who the first time I haven't been to Disney. I went to Disney for a day in 2014. But before that, I haven't been to Disney since the 90s. So a lot of things are still the same.
Really?
Surprising. And there's like new stuff here and there. But it's still like I found it. I was a little disappointed for my Disney experience, but I enjoy the stuff. I learned that I'm not a Magic Kingdom kind of girly.
Like, I was like, I was overwhelmed. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of kids. It's a lot of like screaming and a lot of sensory experience. So I needed to be more relaxed. And I was like, I need like a little bit more grown up for me. So we'll try Universal's because I feel like that's a little bit different. And it's a little different crowd. And see if that's a different space. It's a little cheaper also than Disney. Disney is pricey for what they offer. And the food, I know there's a lot of food creators who talk about how great the food is. I found the food mediocre. Like, it's expensive and it's just like not the greatest. Like, they make
they know you're there and yet you gotta eat. So they're gonna serve you whatever.
Like, I know they boast how like how great it is and stuff like that. I went for Food and Wine and I was like, yeah, that's not the greatest food that I wanted. So
I get so jealous because I see these people.
Yeah.
I think really like people that live in Cali and go to like Disneyland, but I'm like, some people are there all the time. And I'm like, isn't Disney World and Disneyland expensive? Like, how do people go so much?
So annual pass, I think the annual pass for non-residents, at least in Florida, is $1,500. And that gets you access to all the parks so you can do park hopping. I bought the annual pass 2 years ago. It was $400. So it came down, like, I paid $200 fee, and then I paid $20 a month or $18 a month just for annual pass. I didn't get to use it until a year later, and then I only used it once, and I may use it again. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not attached to it. Like, I need to have a Disney trip. But you do get discounts for, like, 20 to 30% discount for hotels and on property, but you can always stay out of property if you have a car. The annual pass includes the parking space, the free parking. But the annual pass that I paid for was Monday to Friday. So there's also the weekend. It's a little bit more expensive, like $800 for Florida residents. And then if you want to do blackout days, like, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving, and like that's more. I think that's like the $1,500 annual pass. So it's expensive. Like, it does add up. Like, yes, you save money on park entries and all the discounts, but it does add up. Like, you have to think about hotel where you're staying, unless you're like driving locally. You have to think about gas and like all the different things. So,
oh my God. Well, yeah, you touched on like doing it for your inner child. Do you feel like you kind of are in touch with younger version of Laura more in the summer? Because I feel it's the season of nostalgia, and I don't know why that is. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, I think so. I've done a lot of like inner child work, and I still do. And my inner child is very expensive. Has very expensive taste. And it's like, cool, what am I doing? I was like, well,
I have this meme saved in my phone that's like, the most dangerous thing is my inner child having access to my debit card.
Yes, it's like, okay, like, my inner child wants to play Legos. And I'm like, girl, this is expensive. Legos, we're not in an all-expense-paid right now. I'm paying for this, not mom and dad. Like,
inner child did not have debit cards back in the day, okay?
No, and they have an all-expense-paid childcare. Like, I saw a meme and was like, what do you miss about being a child? My all-expense-paid. You know? So, like, yeah. So it's a lot of it, like, you know, I bought an iPad and I am like now loving my iPad. It's like,
I love iPads. Reading. I think everybody should have one. Every girl deserves an iPad.
It's like the best reading opportunity, like best reading tool that I found. Yes. I used to love my Kindle Paperwhite, but I'm like, my iPad is like next level. It's
girl,
so
that nice. iPad will change the game. So and I can do speech on it.
Just... I can do ambience music. I can put my YouTube music because I do have YouTube Premium. I don't have Spotify. I put my YouTube music, and now I'm like in my Taylor Swift era. Like, I've become a leader in life Swifty. And so I put Evermore or Folklore and like the ambience music. And then I read on stuff, and I have to continue scrolling if I want to read. Or I've been in my audiobook listening era. So I have all my audiobook tools are there. Like, my RALCs are there, my LibroFM, my Audible, my Libby. I can like scroll through Libby hours on end trying to figure out books to read. It's so good. So I was like, and then I can listen to the book, and it's actually like better speakers than my phone.
Yeah.
I don't like headphones. So I'm like, I'm one of those who put speakers in the house because I'm like myself. Like, nobody cares. So my iPad is like the greatest thing. And there'll be an episode about the iPad because all the things you can do with the iPad, it's so good.
I know. I use mine every day. And I'm like, I'm probably not even using it in like for everything that you can do. Like, I don't have one of those cute little pins yet, but yeah. I want a pin.
I want
to
a
be
pin.
Able to, like, write on it.
Yeah, I bought like a keyboard, like a $10 keyboard. I do need to get a better keyboard than that. But I'm like, I can type it in. I want to get a pen and I want to do digital planning. I think, you know, Malia from Romance Romance, she's like a big digital journaler and stuff. And I was like, she needs to come. She's moving to summer. So she's coming on the show. But I have her like come and talk about old digital journaling.
Yes.
Reading journaling and make it all pretty. And I was like, she was telling me like you can buy stickers on Etsy, like digital stickers and stuff like that. I was like, mind blown.
Come tell us, please, all the deets.
Yes. So I love my iPad. That was like my inner child best investment that I did this year. I work overtime just to get it. And I was like, yep, this was the best investment I did.
So. Oh, girl, that's like my favorite way to treat myself. I'm always like, every time they come out with a new one, I'm like, well, they have a new version of, yeah. I always get the iPad Air. And I'm like, I need to get the new one. They have a new one out.
Yeah, I have a mini. So, like, this is my mini. It's very tiny.
Adorable.
It's adorable. It's, like, the perfect size because it's not too heavy. It's not too large, but it's a little bit bigger than my Kindle. So, I can actually read. So, that's why I love my mini. I'm, like, I'm team mini all the way through.
Yeah.
I'm, like, if you don't want to get, like, a bigger one, just get the mini.
I know. I can't remember what the one is after the Air, like the big one.
The Pro.
But they say it feels like holding paper. And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. But
mine
works
just fine.
Yeah. So
I was wanting to get everybody. Okay. I kind of jumped on this bandwagon late, apparently, because now you can't get them at all. Everybody was getting the Kindle Oasis.
Yeah, there was a whole thing about the Oasis had a second life before they got discontinued. It was like huge on Instagram. Like everyone was like, the buttons, the stuff. And I'm like, dude, it has no battery life. Like it lasts like.
Yeah, okay, now I don't feel bad for getting one because I did learn about that after.
Like it's not the greatest shit on earth. No offense, but it's just, it has the buttons and I think you want it. But then again, you can get the Kindle control if you want the buttons. You can get the gooseneck and the control, the remote control, and you can just have the, if you feel like you need buttons to change the page.
I don't feel like I need it, though.
There's different areas, different eras. So like how much you want to be cozied up as a reader.
Yeah.
You know, we should come back and do an episode about cozying, like how to cozy up like our life.
Well, I feel like we're probably like the wrong people to talk about because we're just like, oh, I got my iPad, girl. I don't need a little bed desk thing to prop it up in. But sometimes some of those things are.
I do want a desk. I want to like be able to. I actually, this is my newest thing is I discovered my bed. So I have PTSD for most of my life. Just traumatic childhood. I have like the CPTSD, like the one that's like ongoing. It's just like there's no one major trauma, just a bunch of trauma. So for a long time, I struggled with insomnia. I still struggle with insomnia, but I really had a lot of fear around my bed, a lot of fear because there was a lot of tense. It was like, I associated my bed to be depressed. And in my head, that was like the worst thing that happened because I had experience with depression and not just myself, but family members. And so I felt that I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot be in bed. And so this past year, like last year, I did a lot of healing over the childhood trauma, just desensitized the emotions. And so my PTSD, like my symptoms are really in remission. So I don't have that stuff. So I don't have fear around the bed. So I think about 2 months ago, I heard about bed rotting and I was like, let me just give this a try. And I had a friend who loves bed rotting, who is a mom too. Like, but she's like, enjoys like just being in bed, just like, you know, reading and like having this like really cozy stuff. And I was like, I just need to elevate my bed. So I got like a new mattress pad. I got like sheets and like I spend Saturdays. Like I look forward to my Saturdays where I spend the whole day in bed. And
really?
I watch like Taylor and like, and I want to preface, I don't have children. I don't have responsibilities. I live by myself. I don't have a relationship. So I can indulge in just a whole day Saturday of being in bed
where I love that
do audiobooks. And so a part of me is like, oh, I need to get like a little bed desk so then I can journal, because that's the one thing I cannot do in my bed. But I've like made my bedroom to be like so cozy. Like it's like I have like light candles if I want to do yoga in my bedroom, because I was doing yoga in the living room and it was just like not the same. So yeah. I created this like environment that feels very like nurturing and very like feeling very cozy and very refreshing and nourishing. And so, yeah, it's all about the bedtime now. Bed rotting is that. The best thing ever.
I heard of the rotting. I was seeing like couch rotting and I was like, oh, I can get down with that, because I feel like I spent a lot of time on the couch. My room, really, I do love my bedroom. It could probably use some spicing up, but we really just use it to go to bed, you know? Like, yeah. And I don't have a TV in there. Like when I do watch something, I'm watching it on my laptop, which doesn't sound too terrible. I mean, I could sit and watch my laptop all day and be fine, but yeah, I don't use
it. You can watch it on your iPad too. The iPad is also a good place to watch, you know? So, but yeah, bed rotting.
Tell me about this Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh. That you're in. So my friend Amy, like she's my go-to for a lot of book ladies. And she's also like, we are about the same age. We're the same age. She's a little bit older than me for a couple of months. And she has teenage daughters. And so she's like been like, you know, Taylor Swift fan for a long time. And she went to the Eras Tour and all those different things. And so I remember listening to Torture Poets Departments when it came out. And I listened, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like, you know, I'm so depressed. I connect like it's my birthday. And I was like, I can relate to this. And I remember texting Amy. I was like, holy shit, I can relate to this. Like, I think I listened to Taylor. And she's like, oh my gosh, you definitely should. So basically I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to Torture Poets. And when it came out that Friday night, I was in rot. I was rotting in bed. I was like, 7 o'clock. I'm like, just going to do bed. And I listened to the whole Torture Poets environment. And I was like mesmerized. I was like, holy crap. This is like the best way I can describe it. It reminded me of, I was in the 12 steps. So back in the day, I was not struggling with alcohol addiction or drug addiction or anything like that. I had different ailments, and I grew up in a family of alcoholics, so I went to Al-Anon. So it reminded me of a 12-step meeting on a Friday night at 6:30, where it's like, it's so raw, it's so dramatic, it's just like full on, like put your heart and the soul for somebody else to watch it, kind of deal.
Yeah.
And that's what Torture Performance MR is. Like, girl needed a therapy. Girl, just roll her pain away for us to consume it. And I was just, like, mesmerized. I was like, okay, like, this is good. So then I was like, Amy, tell me what next CD. And I see things as CDs because I'm a child of the 90s. You know? I know their albums and I know their all their name. But I see them as CD. And so she's guided me to like which CD, like based on my mood, to try out. And so I actually have been, and so what I do is I put Taylor on the background and then I'll read and then I'll like listen to it. Like it just keeps it. So now I've become the person who watches the Eras Tour on YouTube every time. So there's an Eras Tour today. There was one yesterday. Yesterday's stream was so good because it was crisp and there was like such a great streamer, because most of the time it's some grainy ass. They're like trying to figure it out, and then this year will be singing the song, you're like, what am I watching? So I finally watched the whole Eras Tour. I have not watched the Disney. I heard the Disney one is great. I did not watch the theaters. I did not go to the shows. I'm not gonna go to the shows because the shows are ending in December. So yeah. But I finally listened to most of her album series. I don't have a ranking, it just depends on the mood. But I found that I'm a Taylor and life Swiftie.
Yeah. I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she is obsessed. Like during the school year, I think Midnights came out during the week, and she knew it was coming. And she woke up the next day, and I was like, did you stay up until it came out? She's like, yes. And I already listened to the whole thing, but she still got up in time for school. So I was like, I'm not mad at that. Like, loves her. And so my mom was kind of like, I want to really like enjoy something that she likes. What does she like? I was like, you gotta listen to Taylor Swift. Now my mom's a Swiftie.
Yeah, it's like so weird. It's so
like being like when tortured poets tortured poets department. I want to say society. I don't know. I'm thinking of Dead Poets Society. When it came out, I like drove to the coffee shop and I was like, I'm gonna drive to one on the other side of the city so I can listen to a good chunk of this. And yeah, she just is such a good songwriter. And I think that she writes songs for the girls. Like she is going to write those songs with those lyrics that like are kind of like they have these moments where it's almost like you had to be there to know, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. Like just one of her older songs, like Dancing in the Kitchen by like Light of the Refrigerator or something like that. I'm totally butchering the lyrics, but like all girls at one point had that fantasy of like being with someone and dancing in the kitchen by refrigerator light, you know, whatever. She's just, I don't know, her lyrics are fantastic. I don't know. She catches a lot of hate, but I'm like, she's writing songs for the girls. Okay.
Yeah.
She's so good.
She's writing songs for the girls. So let's start on books. Like, what books are you looking forward to reading this summer?
Oh my gosh. I'm trying. So I'm having this project. I think I've shared it with our WhatsApp girlies. I'm trying to like read the big popular contemporaries as they come out, which has, I did read the Emily Henry, loved it. I loved the Abby Jimenez, loved it. Now I feel silly because I did not read Part of Your World or like the first two books. I didn't even realize Just for the Summer was part of a series. Loved that freaking book. I read the Christina Lauren. It was fine. And then all of a sudden it got to the end and it kept going. And I was like, why is this so long at the end? I did read The Crowley Fortune, which I know you and somebody else in the WhatsApp were like, I loved it. And I was like, I just don't know if she's for me.
Who's not for you? I DNF the first book. I liked the second book, but nobody likes the second book. And then I
didn't even read the second book.
You might not like it. So I don't think that's for you. And that's okay. I really loved it. I was like, I was here for the vibes. I was here for like the process, the pee at the Prince Edward Island, and then the best friends and the brother's best friend kind of deal. So I was just here for the vibes and it was just fun overall.
Yeah. I think that in her, like giving her props, again, going back to like stuff for the girls, I feel like Crowley Fortune is really writing books for the girls, like, and like women, I think of a certain age. I don't even remember how old the characters were in that book, but I think I put in my Goodreads review, like she really does this wonderful, magical thing of like capturing place and like capturing the summer and how it can feel so endless. But at the same time, there is always like this time limit on it. Like she really does like the work in capturing just like the nostalgia and the bliss of summer. And like, I am here for it. But like this book, I'm just like, I don't know at the same time. But it was, I really respected like what she was able to like make me feel. I think the biggest one that I'm looking forward to next is I'm an Ashley Poston girl.
Like, I love that book. I read it.
I really like Ashley.
Yeah, I love Ashley. This book is so good. It's, again, magical realism. Imagine yourself in a town and it's just like so lovely and it's so cozy. And it's just like this like warm, cozy blanket that you perfectly to rot in bed reading.
Yeah, really? OK, so you read it. Of course you read it early. You're Laura.
Yeah. I read some stuff early. I haven't read. Actually, I've been listening to audio. So now because I get access to ALTs or I get them from the library, I'm reading as close as publication days, but for the part, for some of them, I'm like, some of my favorite authors, I'm like, no, I need to read this like ASAP. So yeah. I read that one. So lovely.
Yeah, I'm that's like the one that I'm really, I think, banking on next to like to pick up. I don't even know like what else other than that is coming out this month that I'm looking forward to. I was like, I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble because Ashley's book is out. And then it doesn't come out till like the 25th. I did get Allie Hazelwood's, which is my first Allie Hazelwood. I don't know what that says about me.
I heard this was angsty. So it's a little bit different from her other ones. I found her other ones to be very similar to each other.
Okay.
But this one's like, I heard it's a departure. It's a little bit more angstier.
Okay. Well, I haven't read anything else by her. I have Bride, and I'm really excited for that one. I think I'm saving that one, though, because I'm like, oh, it looks paranormal-ish, yeah, monster-ish. So I was like, I'm going to save it. But yeah, I was like, well, this is Allie Hazelwood, and I'm in this project of reading big deals as they're coming out. So I ordered it from Amazon, and I'm really excited. It sounds good. It sounds good.
I don't.
So. Yeah, I saw that. I was listening to your episode. You did, like, were you reviewing audiobooks? I think you were reviewing audiobooks. Okay. I was listening to it yesterday morning, and I was like, oh my gosh, Laura's coming through. And I love how you had the graphic, and I could see the books that you were talking about. Okay, so one of them was, is it Annabelle?
Annabelle Monaghan, Summer Roman. Yeah. Oh, if you have not tried Annabelle Monaghan, you should try. I think you'll like her. She meshes like older heroines and meshes a bit of like women's fiction of like your messy lives, but like complicated lives. It's still like unraveling them and making sense of it and a leader in life. And they're so good. Summer Romance is like deals with grief. It deals with like, you know, coming up like a second chance romance, like a second chance to have a romance in your life. And like, you know, coming from a messy divorce. And this guy who's like, you know, he's trying to figure out who he is in this world. And it's just delightful. And they have kids. And it's just, I don't know. It's just this delightful romance. I love Nora Goes Off Script. That's actually one of my.
I was going to ask if you read that one.
And it's just delightful. Yes, there's like a third eye breakup. And yes, they should have communicated. But it's just like, I remember sitting it, like reading in one sitting. And I was like, I love this book. It's like, It's Nora Goes Off Script. It's essentially she's a script writer and stuff like that. And they're filming the house. They're filming her story, one of her stories, and they're filming her house. And the actor decides to move into her house after the movie because he doesn't feel too well or something. And it's just like this random like house guest who happens to be a famous actor, and then they fall in love. It's so good.
I also really want to read. Well, yeah. So now I know I need to go ahead and read her because I think I haven't. Did she write This Time Next Summer? She did write that.
This Time Next Summer. I think so. I think that was like the second
the one from last year.
Yeah.
Maybe. I have that one. I feel like maybe I do have Summer Romance. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, yeah, I need to go ahead and read her. I have a couple of like Afterglow books. One is by Carmen Lee, and it's a sapphic romance. It's black females, and they're both teachers, and they have to work together on this like bowling league.
The bowling league one. Yeah,
it looks so cute. So I'm really excited for that. And then I want to read, so kind of like, you know, you becoming a Swiftie later in life, I'm finally finding my love of Catherine Zinter. And she has that new book coming out called The Rom-Commers. Now, I love her. Netflix adapted her book, Happiness for Beginners, and I rewatch it like every couple weeks. I love that movie so much. And I ordered the book, read the book, loved it. And I was like, why am I just now finding out that Catherine Zinter is
probably
badass?
I didn't read The Rom-Commers. I think you'll like it, too. It's a very homage to rom-com movies.
Okay.
It's so good. And it's happily ever after. There's like no major, you know, no major issues. There is some touch and go, and the journey takes you a journey, but it's a happily ever after. That's what I can tell you. So if you're worried about the anxiety about it, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you want your reading in the summer to like feel a certain way?
I don't. I think I'm just. It's a weird thing. I'm such a mood reader, so it just depends on like what the mood strikes.
Yeah.
I aspire to be a TBR person, but I'm not.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
Through that.
So Bree, tell us where you can find you online.
I'm on Instagram sometimes at Bree.unabashedly, and I host the Categorically Romance podcast. I also have an Instagram for the podcast with the same name. So that's it. Come say hi. Tell me what to read this summer, please.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.